Well, today I want to talk about the total surrender of our lives at time to Christ. And I want to talk about how that we have a very practical way in which we can just, sometimes we need to just pause and just kind of sit and wait and hear from the Lord. And so if you have your Bibles and would turn with me, today's verse I want to talk about is Psalm 37, 7. Psalm 37 says, "Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him." Be still and wait patiently. Boy, those are some of the most un-American words we can say, right? In America, these are not things that are celebrated. We don't celebrate stillness. We celebrate what? Action, right? This year, as Karen mentioned earlier, with The Incredibles 2, and we've already seen a number of blockbuster movies that have come out, and the most prominent successful movies are movies in the genre of action movie. People love to go and see action. If you go and you think about movies that are just still, I don't know that too many people see those movies anymore. Is there movies like that anymore? I think about movies like the old days, and it's old days to me, is like, you know, like on Golden Pond. I'm trying to think of, you know, some movies that was like about people just sitting around talking to each other. King's Speech. Movies that are about talking. People ask me, you go see a superhero movie, they're like, how was the action, you know? What did this guy do? What did they do, you know? No one ever talks about the dialogue. They don't go to see this. This is a genre of movies that is so popular right now. This is like the culture of America at this moment is action. We want to see action. But God's word tells us that, you know what? Sometimes you need to be still. And there's been some really sweet times in my life, and I know many of us who've been walking with the Lord very long, we have those moments where God really just, sometimes he makes us be still, and sometimes he just allows us to be still. And in those moments, he shares some things with us. Now, out of this verse, I think there's three action steps. They're pretty self-revealing, but I want to kind of walk through them a little bit. And as you go into, for some of us, for all of us, it's summertime, but for some of us who still have kids, and or if you're teachers, like this is a time maybe you kind of are like, you've been at a dead race. I know that with my kids, like that last month, you know, you're getting in your final projects and you're working on finals, and it's like we can relax a little bit for just a moment. So I want us to all kind of get into this mindset. It's summer. It's time to be still. It's time to enjoy yourself a little bit. And God commands us to do that. The very first thing that I want us to see in this is that we need to be still. So I'm just going to stand here for 5 minutes. No, I'm not going to do that. Boy, that would be great, right? Just, it's uncomfortable. If I sat here for 5 seconds and didn't say anything and didn't move, you guys would be like, what's he doing? We're so not used to that. I have a good friend of mine who we can hang out sometimes and like periods of time go by, we don't talk to each other. And we've joked over the years. I'm like, you know what I really like about you is that I can sit and be quiet. Because there's not a lot of people that are like that in our life. And God's like, I want you to do that with me sometimes. There's three ways I believe that we can be still. First is we need to be still in our mind. Be still in our mind. Job 6:24 says, "Teach me, and I will be silent." Teach me, and I will be silent, Job said. Well, I mean, that is pretty profound. Like if somebody's teaching you, like you should be silent, you should be still, you should be hanging on what they're saying. You should anticipate that, and then you see what's going on in modern education, and kids are just respectful, and they're loud, and it's like, Well, no wonder they're not learning anything. You got to be quiet. The teacher's trying to teach you. Boy, it's not when I was a kid. You had to be quiet. And when the teacher spoke, like, we listened. For you're still in high school and grade school kids. It's a new concept. The Bible tells us this. Teach me and be silent. When your teacher's teaching you, when your parents are teaching you, when people are pouring into you, be silent. There's times when God wants to teach us. Do you ever have a friend who talks all the time? I mean talks all the time. Like calls you, you say hello, you talk, they talk, then you say goodbye, and you get off the phone. Now, let's be honest. Sometimes you put those people on speaker and just lay them down. You go ahead and do your housework, your folding clothes. Not that I've ever done that. We sometimes need to be still. And I think about God. I wonder how many times God gets that. You start your prayer, Heavenly Father. Right, or however we start it. If you're really in a righteous, you know, God of the heavens, you know, you start with this like Pauline kind of opening, and the Lord's like, yes. And then you talk for like 30 minutes or whatever it is, and then you go, okay, bye. And he's like, oh, I wanted to share with you. Like, you didn't, breathe. I mean, I'm sure God looks at it and goes, you know, I don't know how these guys are talking for 30 minutes straight. Like, they haven't breathed. But Job's telling us here, just in my mind, I need to be still. Teach me, and I will be silent. God, what are you wanting to teach me? What is God trying to teach you right now? What is God trying to teach us as a church right now? Maybe it's collectively, we need to be still for a moment so we may learn. Secondly, God wants us to be still in body. 1 Samuel 12:16 says this. 1 Samuel 12:16. Now then, stand still and see this great thing the Lord is about to do before your eyes. Stand still and see what the Lord is going to do. You ever miss stuff? Because you're just busy? I mean, I'm always amazed at people who just, you go places and they're just walking and so fast and I'm like, do you see what's going on around you? I love going on vacation, and one of the things I really like is when I get to not be driving, but like I'll be the passenger because like I'm not paying attention to traffic. And like we've drove through towns before. I know like Atlanta or Nashville or some of those bigger towns. Like I am not looking at anything but the car in front of me. It could be a wasteland out there. I do not know what's going on. I am looking at the taillights when they go on and off. Like, that's all I'm looking at. But man, every once in a while, like, Amy will drive through those towns, and I look around and go, oh, look. Look at this building that they built. Look at this thing that's going on. Like, oh, wow. Like, I can see what's going on. When we are so busy being in charge, when we are so busy, our body, we are so active all the time. God wants us sometimes to physically be still and look. You know the old saying, stop and smell the roses. Why do they have that saying? Because people are busy, and they're not stopping, and they're missing out on the things that God is wanting to do for us. Sometimes you have to physically be still. And I love how he writes it here in Samuel. Be still and look about the amazing thing that God is about to do. How many of us have... Maybe pray. I hear people all the time like, oh, I've never seen a miracle. I wish I could see a miracle. I'm like, well, have you ever stopped to look for one? Who knows what might be going on around you if you don't see it as a miracle, if you don't see what God is doing, the amazing things around you, you will miss them. Boy, just be still in our body. Thirdly, we need to be still in our spirit. Psalm 62:5. Yes, my soul, find rest in God. My hope comes from Him. Well, we need to be still in our spirit because The opposite of hope is worry and stress and anxiety, of fear that we don't know what's going to happen. And we are so busy and wound up in our own mind and our own spirit of trying to figure things out in life. And God's kind of like, you know what? Just be still in your spirit. And I love the song that talks about how that he can calm the storm of the sea. He can calm the storm in me. Many a day we have storms inside of us. Many a day there's just, we are wound up. I mean, there is a storm brewing in our hearts and in our spirit. What we need is some peace and we need some hope. We need to be like David here in Psalm 62. Yes, my soul, find rest in God. Be still in the Lord, for there is my hope. There in that unknown is God, and there I will rest. Boy, I spoke a couple weeks ago, talked about Jesus sleeping in the bow of the ship. He was asleep in the middle of the storm. Sometimes we need to do that. We need to be at rest, at peace, knowing he's still in charge. He's still in control. So we need to be still in our mind and our body and our spirit. Next part of this verse is that we need to wait. Boy, if we thought being still was hard, the next thing is we need to wait. And then the writer of Psalms puts this word that is a, it's just, it's a dirty word in America, in our culture. It says, wait patiently. Patiently. Oh my gosh, if we go into a store and I accidentally left my phone in the car and Luke has to walk around and just look at the what's on the shelf instead of like a game or something, like, oh. Or we're at the doctor's or something, and you have to wait, and you don't have electronics or a movie or some instantaneous entertainment. I mean, God bless him. He's sick this morning. That's why he and Amy are not here. But I've been with him. He just melts. What am I going to do? I'm like, you know, when I was a kid, that's how, like, right? When you were a parent, or when you were a child, you swore you'd never say that, right? Because your mom and dad said it to you. You know, when I was a kid, yes, Dad, I know, you had one shoe. You walked up school, down school, snowed in July, whatever. Roughest life ever, yes. I remember waiting in the car for my mom, and my sister and brother and I, we would be literally bored to death. And this, pre-Game Boy, pre-any mobile kind of device of entertainment. So, like, it was literally the three of us and a car. And we had seat belts. And we made up stories with seat belts. How bored do you have to be? You take the little shiny part of the seatbelt, the buckle, and the sun reflects off of it, and it makes a little shiny part up on the ceiling. And then we all three had these, and they would be our, me and my brother and my sister, and they would be our ships, and we would be fighting each other because of these little things. They'd, pew, pew, I'm flying around. I'm sure that people walked by and thought, those poor children, they've had heat stroke waiting in the car. But in our minds, we waited patiently. I know we weren't. I'm sure to my mom, we were the most anxious kids ever. But to wait patiently is just not a thing we do so much anymore. But there's ways that we can be patient. And I want to give you three. The first is to be joyful in your waiting. How can I be patient? I can be joyful in my waiting. Romans 12:2, be joyful in hope. Patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Be joyful in hope. I just shared with you that, you know, we need to be in our spirit. We need to be still, because in that stillness we can have hope in Christ. And then Paul picks up in Romans and says, you know what? In that hope we can be joyful. We can be joyful while we're waiting. It's a funny thing to watch the cycle of life, of watching young adults just beating themselves up to get the best grades and get out of college and get that right job. They can't wait to get the job and start working. And that's awesome. And then I watch people who are, you know, like 62, 63, 64, and they're on the other end of it. And they're just like, if I can just get up one more day and one more day and one more day, and they've counted off how many hours it is until they can finally go in and say, boom, done, see ya. We are always anticipating the next thing, aren't we? Why, you know, I got to throw in a Star Wars quote here, because Yoda, Empire Strikes Back, he always telling Luke, look, you're always looking off. You're never looking, paying attention to where you are. Look, there's wisdom in Yoda. I'm just going to tell you. Because that is so true. We're always looking at the next thing. What is the next thing? I mean, this last year, this, I know for not everybody, but for geeks like me, like all of 2017 was leading up to 2018 of this 10-year culmination over 19 movies, the story that they've been weaving in the Marvel Universe so that they could have Avengers with Thanos, the Infinity Gauntlet. And oh my gosh, we went and saw it. And it was just amazing. And you know what happens as soon as you walk out the door? When's the next one? We are never happy. We never are patient and joyful in our waiting. But we need to be restful in our hope and patient in our affliction. And that's when it's the hardest, right? When things are not going so well, when things are troublesome, and God's like, okay, wait a second. Did your mom ever have that rule of, like, they bend time? My mom did. We learned just a minute meant like 5 to 10, right? It'll be a few minutes meant 30. And we won't be there very long means we're going to be there all night. And sometimes when we pray, and I hear the Lord say, wait a second, and I'm like, oh, what does that mean? Because, you know, to the Lord, like a day is 1,000 years. I'm like, is he going to make me wait 1,000 years for this? Like, this is a spiritual anxiety that I have. I'll just be totally transparent. I've shared this with my wife. I've shared it with other friends. I'm like, I'm always worried. Like, you know, when you look at the Old Testament, like Joseph is called. He's probably a teenager, but he's like 30 by the time he gets to be like in the position. And in the meantime, he was sold into slavery and spent like 13 years in prison. I'm like, okay, when God says something to me, I'm like, am I going to have to go through all that? Moses feels like he should lead the people to freedom when he's about 40 years old, and he does it himself and screws it up. So then he like goes out and is this like nomad shepherd for over 40 years. Before God calls him back to actually then lead the people. So I'm like, sometimes I'm like, do I need to be out for 40 years? Am I going to miss out on something? I mean, what does God want? I mean, very few times does God just instantaneously, he doesn't seem to be in a hurry. He's always on time. He's just not necessarily on our time. So joyful in waiting. We have hope. And not to be contradictory, but we can be active in our waiting. What do I mean by that? Well, 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. In other words, you need to be still in the Lord. Always give yourself fully to the work for the Lord, for it is not in vain. One of my mentors growing up was R.R. Swambach, and one of his most common phrases to say was, just do what you know to do. We'd say, hey, I don't know what to do. Do what you know to do. Well, thanks, R.R. But boy, further in my life and further I am into ministry, I lean on those words more than ever. Do what I know to do. Because here's what I have found in life. Maybe you found this too. There's a whole lot you don't know. But there are situations that come up in life, in ministry, just around you that you're just like, that is something new. How do I deal with this? One of the things I've done is I've leaned on that word, just do what you know to do. So I go into situations and I go in and I'm just continuing what God has very clearly laid out for us. And that's a whole sermon in itself, but you could search the scriptures to find. There are some basic things. Pray without ceasing. Rejoice always. Do things for others as you would want done to yourself. Love others as you want to be loved. And as you love the Father, you should love each other. These are some basic things. That does not change time, season, situation. You always can do those things. When in doubt, love. When in doubt, pray. When in doubt, rejoice. Stand firm, Paul says. Let nothing move you. Just continue to do the work of the Lord. Because the promise is, it's not in vain. Boy, it's not very glamorous sometimes. It's not. You know, I mentioned earlier we went on a parade of homes and we looked at these houses. One of these houses, you know, some of these houses are million-dollar houses. You know what I laughed? Here's what I took away. I share certain things in common with these houses. My house is very similar to theirs. I was looking at their vent covers. I swear they're the same $5 vent covers that I got at the local hardware store. They can't be any different. You know what I mean? I looked at some of the light fixtures. I was like, huh, I've seen that for, you know, $30 somewhere. I know where they got that. You know, I bet you if I were to peel off all the fancy, you know, decorations and the paint and all that stuff, you know what they got on their walls? Drywall. The same sheets of drywall I got in my house. And behind them, you know what they got? 2x4s. Wood. I got wood in my house. I got a pretty nice house. That's what I took away from that. It's just dirt. Thank you very much. We can so easily be swayed. I could go, now look, there's some amazing things, like, right? Like, there's obviously they have, like, I don't know, 4-inch marble with the, it's amazing stuff. They had a pool table that actually converted to a card table that converted to like an eating table. I don't know. It was like a transforming table. I'm like, that's awesome. I'd hate to know how much that cost, but that is awesome. I'm like, babe, we've been looking for a new dining room table. There it is. And we can get moved by that. I mean, we can walk into life and we can get moved by these things. That's what I love about Paul's writing here. He said, stand firm and just do what you need to do. Just be you. Boy, if God has blessed you and you have that kind of stuff, awesome. If you don't, awesome. Be you. Do what you know to do. Spiritually, God blesses and changes everybody differently and incrementally. We all mature at different levels and stages and speeds. And some of us have growth spurts and some of us stagnate. But wherever you're at, Be you. I don't know what to do with this. I don't know what to do with that. What has God revealed to you? I never forget, years ago, I got in an argument with a person because I was like, at this point, I can't learn anything or don't want to learn anything new from God. And they were just like, oh, you got to always be learning new stuff. I said, I can't handle the stuff I learned. I am still basically at the point where I'm like, how do I love my neighbor? This was last week. So, no, I'm just joking. This was years ago. So mature now. These things that we learn from God. Guys, there's a lot he's not going to tell us. I use that principle when I'm parenting. I tell my children, like, I can teach you a lot. I can only teach you what I know. And I am guaranteeing you that you will interact with things 10 years from now, 20 years from now, 30 years from now that I have no idea about. I can't prepare you because I don't know about them. I've talked to my mom about that. My mom tells me, she's like, it was hard enough raising you boys and you kids when we were in the 70s. Like, I can't imagine trying to also be like the cyber police and trying to figure out all, like, that's nuts. I'm like, yeah, I know, right? So what I heard was that, moms, I'm a better parent, right? Like, I have a harder time at it, right? She's like, no, because your kids are good. I'm like, it took me a second. I was like, oh. You took a second, I know. When we think about what the Lord is telling us to do is just be active. Just continue doing what he wants us to do. The third thing is that while we're waiting, we can long. It's okay to long. Yeah, you know, today's technological advancement of, you know, instantaneous communication at any point, any time. I mean, I'm always amazed. I'm fascinated by this. My mom could be thousands of miles away. She was in Alaska last week on a trip. And they Marco Polo'd. Marco Polo's an app. If you guys don't have it, it's amazing. It's like a video walkie-talkie. That's what they call it. You remember the old game, Marco Polo? Same thing. You say something to them, it's like short video, then they send a little video back. It's awesome. And I'm thinking, she's like in Alaska. And I can instantaneously, if I really need to, can communicate with her. Then I think about like just 100 years ago. Boy, if you had relatives that lived like in Missouri, you may never see them. Or like once in a few years. I mean, we hop in our car and travel to Florida like it's nothing. But 150, 200 years ago, if you were going to go to Florida, that's because like you're going there to live. If you were coming from here. You're not just going to drop by. And if somebody did that and they did move away, there was a thing that happened. This longing occurred. Because like if I wanted to communicate with them, I would write a letter and I would give it to some dude on a pony and he would ride so far and then he'd finally give it to somebody on a stagecoach and you know the whole story. And then like, I don't know, a month later or 2 months later, they get this. Mom is sick. They write back. How bad? She's died. I mean, like there's... By the time you think about all these things, I mean, it's like, it's not like today. There was a longing that took place. Psalm 130, verse 6 says this, I wait for the Lord more than the watchman wait for the morning. Another translation says, more that they long for the morning. Why does the watchman long for the morning? Because they're in the darkness. It's hard for them to see. It's hard for them to do what they're supposed to be doing, which is protecting, is to be on guard, to watch. And they long for morning, because with morning, there came visibility, there came safety. We sometimes feel like we're in the dark, don't we? And God's like, just wait patiently. You can long, you can desire it, but wait patiently. So we be still and we wait patiently. And what are we waiting patiently for? The very last thing, the third thing is this, for him. For Christ, for the Lord. If we are waiting for anything else, we will be disappointed. Were you waiting for to win the lottery? Waiting for that new job? Waiting for that right spouse? Or waiting for your spouse to finally act right? Or waiting for your kids to act right? Or waiting for fill in the blank? See, the other thing that we talked about yesterday when we were walking through these houses was, I said, this is an amazing house. And I was like, even if somebody gave me this house, when you're talking 13, 15,000 square feet and you have to heat and cool and clean, and those yards are amazing. I mean, they are straight out of like lawn and garden kind of yards. Give me that for a month and I will have it messed up. Beautiful landscaping, multiple layers. One had a waterfall in the backyard. I'm not talking like a waterfall. I'm talking like 15-foot waterfall, multiple levels with landscaping. You know what that means? Somebody's got to go out in those little bushes and pick all the weeds. So even if we got what we wanted, if it's just stuff, if it's just things, if it's not the Lord, we will be eventually disappointed. Be still. Wait patiently for him. Psalm 18:31. I'll close with this. For who is God but the Lord? And who is a rock except our God? We wait patiently for the Lord because in him we have the solid answer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, just thank you so much for everything that you've given us, that you've shared with us, that you blessed us with. And God, it's not about the stuff. It's not about the people in our life even. It's about your son, Jesus Christ. As we celebrated communion earlier, we celebrated your son. If we wait, if we long for anything but him, we will be disappointed. God, help us to be still, to hear your voice, to long after you. It's in your name we pray. Amen.